I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the heart of a Middle East still enduring a US-UK-EU armed genocide in Gaza. But it has been a humiliating week for Israel after Tehran and Washington ended Tel Aviv's ambitions for a region-wide war. But with a world in flux, it may be important to remember the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo on this day in 1914, and how anything that might happen in the world while you watch this program could still spark a global war. This week's NATO summit in Holland was overshadowed by Donald Trump ordering 52 Israeli warplanes to turn round from their intended Iranian targets amidst bombs on the USA's largest base in West Asia, in Qatar. Iran is now free to leave the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty with an apparent 400 kilos of highly enriched uranium to copy Israel's nuclear ambiguity. Netanyahu, meanwhile, continued its genocide, its backing of ISIS in Syria against Christians, and its bombing of Lebanon. But when it comes to global nuclear annihilation, Trump's desire for peace was out in the open. His dominance of NATO was underlined by a joint communique dropping condemnation of Russia as part of the NATO proxy war on Russia through Ukraine that he inherited from his predecessor. Western European leaders spent their time looking confused at the NATO summit, and South Korea and Japan appeared to boycott the whole thing. Joining me now from Rome is Petr Bistron, a founding member of Germany's AfD party, according to some polls, the most popular party in the most powerful economy in Western Europe. Elected to the European Parliament last year, Bistron is a member of its Committee on Foreign Affairs. Petr, thanks so much for coming on. I do want to get on to the dirty tricks against you to explore whether Germany is actually a democracy at all. But first of all, amidst all the crises in West Asia, what did you make of a joint communique that didn't condemn Russia after your leader, Chancellor Merz, and all these other leaders of Western European countries spend every day telling their populations the enemy is Russia?
Yeah, for first, hello, it's nice to be here. And yes, of course, we know widely this narrative. And we also know that it's false, you know. But the NATO needs some enemy. They chosen already years ago Russia. They built it up with the help of the media. And now we see the consequences. The NATO summit agreed on a 5% of GDP to be paid for new weapons and infrastructure.
Yeah, presumably American weapons. What happened to the irreversible path to NATO of Ukraine they were talking about?
that was a good point, because one of the reasons why this conflict started, because Ukraine put this into its constitution even years before the war started. We have to say that Zelensky also prohibited the strongest opposition party in the country 1 year before the war. He closed four television stations, 10 radio stations. And, with the NATO, I think it will be postponed now, if I may say it like this. Ukraine is not going to be a member of the NATO.
So what's it like being in the European Parliament thinking the way that you do? Because on corporate media in Germany, in France, across the European Union, in Britain, they don't talk like you at all. So what's it like being in the European Parliament?
Well, how is it in the European Parliament? If you have positions like this, you are the enemy as well. It's not only me, it's several parties across Europe, and we were all blackmailed even before the election to the European Parliament. So they were trying to blackmail us as agents of China, agents of Russia, and so on and so on. In fact, we are all patriots. We just want the best for our people, for our country. We are doing the same what Donald Trump is doing in the U.S. He is saying, like, America first. We are saying our countries first, our people first, and therefore we are against this stupid war, of course.
Yeah, but so what help is, J.D. Vance, Trump's vice president, said democracy in your country, in Germany, may not survive if the thoughts, concerns, and pleas for relief that voters for the AfD express are not considered. What do you think, how that lands in Berlin among the mainstream media, that was
a blast. That was a real blast. The support from J.D. Vance, from Marco Rubio, and also from Elon Musk in front of the election was really crucial for us, for the AfD. Just imagine, the Secret Service of Germany was spying us legally. They were blackmailing us as a extremist organization. They are preparing to forbid us. We are the strongest party in the polls. We were the second strongest party in the election, and they're trying to forbid us. And what the Rubio and what J.D. Vance did was really, really a big help. It helped us in the public opinion. And it you are asking, so how was the reaction in Berlin? Fear and loathing in Berlin, and the official Berlin, panic and confusion, because they don't know what to do now.
I mean, how does it work then in Germany? There's the BFV, it's equivalent to the MI5 in England or the FBI in the United States, the French DGSI. What have they been doing to your leaders, Alice Weidel and Tino Chirapala, that made the Americans interfered to stop the interference of your secret services?
Well, the secret service is here to protect us from terrorists and to do this kind of work. But the German secret service is the only secret service in Western Europe which is used to oppress opposition. You know, they publicly produce, and then giving to public so-called reports, you know, about like we were extremists, which we are not. You know, that this is a terrible. It's a collaboration between the government and the secret service, which, and everybody should know, the secret service is under the Minister of Interior, so they are clerks. They have to do it, you know. And they use their misuse for oppression of the opposition.
Well, they've been attacking their left as well, the Sarah Wagenknecht party. Do you know how many Germans have been killed in the war on Russia through Ukraine? I mean, there's the KSK, which is the equivalent of the British SAS. They're in Ukraine fighting with Zelensky. Well, yeah, not Zelensky. No, Zelensky is busy. Zelensky is busy flying around to hotels, but the Ukrainian people.
Well, no idea. Those numbers, of course, are not published in the mainstream media, and even the information is not given. So this is not the official version that ESK would be fighting alongside of the Ukrainian. So I probably you are spreading just a fake news. I would guess a Russian propaganda.
We know the KSK were there. We know the SAS were there. Lots of reports confirming that. I mean, without sounding
as
like...
As a German official, I can only deny this.
Because the KSK is a special forces regiment, I suppose. How corrupt is Zelensky, do you think? I mean, he was a kind of guest of honor again at the NATO summit this week. I think Trump didn't give him that much time. You believe he's corrupt, that German money, the people's money in Germany is wasted?
Well, just look at the corruption index where Ukraine is. It's somewhere between some countries from Africa, very low place. I mean, there were several reports about that, what he is owning, some villa for several millions. You mentioned it, the real estate properties abroad and so on and so on. We are not proving this, you know, but we know that in general there is a lot of corruption in the Ukraine during the war. Even the Ukrainians are fighting against corruption. We will see the full scale of this corruption after the war. I think the time of Zelensky is counted. Klitschko, the mayor of Kiev, is already preparing himself, is putting himself into the position to be the next president. And at that time, there will be, of course, some disclosure of the massive corruption of this period.
But you are on committees. I think you're on four committees or more of the European Parliament.
Yeah, but in those committees, we don't get numbers of stolen money from the Zelensky government.
But do they not want to audit where the money is going of European countries?
Even the Americans don't know where the money is going. You know, Donald Trump was asking for that. Where is my money? And nobody knows. And therefore, I'm saying that we have to wait till the end of the war.
And is it because of propaganda that your colleagues in the European Parliament, they genuinely believe Russia wants to invade Brussels, Berlin, Paris, London? I mean, is it in their heads that this is what Vladimir Putin wants to do?
Of course, many people believe this after 3 years of massive propaganda in this direction. Of course, this is a complete nonsense, you know. For three reasons. Historically, Russia never expanded in Middle Europe. The Soviet Union was once there in 1945, but this was a reaction on the Nazi invasion of the Soviet Union. Secondly, Russia has no economical reason to do so. And third reason is Russia is perfectly aware of its military capacities.
Yeah, okay, sorry, Petr, but when you explain this in the European Parliament and in private to other MEPs, what do they say? That you are just a Russian agent?
Well, mostly they don't say anything because they're thinking about this, the normal people. But there are those like Strzok Zimmermann and others. They say no, this is Russian propaganda. You are a Russian agent, and we are sure Putin and tomorrow Putin will be here with his army. But it stands in a very blatant contrast of what they were saying before, because at the beginning of the war they said, oh, the Russian army is not capable to do this war. They're using the microchips from our washing machines and dishwashers, you know, all their stuff is crap, you know. I don't know. Maybe they're coming on the German washing machines straight to the Berlin capital, you know. We will see it.
Petr Bistron, I'll stop you there. More from the senior AfD German member of the European Parliament after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with Petr Bistron, German member of the European Parliament and author of Make Europe Great Again. Petr, you were talking about all the propaganda in the European Parliament to support the proxy war on Russia. But polls in Germany do show the German people massively supports money to Ukraine and the belief that Russia wants to invade Germany. At the same time as your party is obviously doing so well at some polls, the most popular, according to some, how is it that Germans massively support money to Ukraine?
Yeah, well, the most people are not believing this. There are still more than 65% of the population who doesn't want the participation of Germany in this war. And this is exactly the biggest problem of the government. And it was the former ambassador from Ukraine to Germany, Mr. Melnyk, who even admitted this. He said it in an interview. He said, our biggest problem is that the majority of the German population still is against this war, you know? And this describes perfectly the situation in Germany.
So the polls...
They're trying hard to convince the people, but the people still don't want.
So the polls are wrong, then, that you read in the newspaper saying most Germans do support Zelensky?
You can read the statistics that the most people don't want the war. This is no secret. It's done by official sources, even by the public television.
Obviously, I must have been looking at something too mainstream. Meanwhile,
ask, like, is Zelensky a nice guy and would you support the democratic Ukraine, blah, blah, blah? And then you get the answers that the people say, yes, of course, we support this. But if you ask do you want that Germany support this war or participate in this war? They say, no, we don't want it.
Yeah, and I mean, they didn't really react after the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline. Cy Hirsch, who exposed that he came on this show to expose the Nord Stream. He recently predicted that the United States would be bombing Iran. Why was there not much of an uproar in Germany about the bombing of the Nord Stream?
How can you say this? Our secret services, our policemen, our special forces, they investigated it perfectly. They found out that the pipeline was blown out by 4 or 5 Ukrainian partisans. They rented a small boat, you know, and they just dived 75 meters deep.
I think we can quit the sarcasm on this. But more seriously, and this is why the AfD is doing so well. 1 in 6 in Germany tonight will be sleeping thinking they're at the risk of official poverty in your country, Germany. Cheap energy, which would have been guaranteed by Nord Stream, has been destroyed by the CIA. How do ordinary Germans, would you say that more of them now realize that this war on Russia was just an elite power grab and it was all on false pretenses?
So, of course, the ordinary people are feeling it in their pockets every day since 3 years. This is also why the most people are also against this embargo against Russia. And of course, now after 3 years, we feel it more and more. There are just 100,000 jobs lost in German industry. Why? Of course, if you rise the price for energy, and German industry was relying for decades on cheap energy sources from Russia. We have had long-term contracts. So that was the competitive advantage of the German industry, in spite of we have a very high wages. So we had this cheap energy sources. And then now with the prices rising high, everything's got much more expensive. You know, the steel is more expensive, aluminium is more expensive, chemicals are more expensive, and those are used in other industries. So if you have a expensive steel, you have then expensive cars, and so on and so on. So our products are no longer competitive on the world markets, and we are losing. And everybody is feeling this in Germany, and this is a real problem.
I mean, of course, things are going to be even worse in the poorer economies of Western Europe. You're the most powerful economy. But I suppose I should ask you, before I ask about your persecution, is Germany a democracy? I mean, it has occupied by United States bases, Ramstein. I don't know whether there are nuclear weapons on it. Certainly tens of thousands of American occupying soldiers. And you have talked before, I think, about USAID, the National Endowment for Democracy. Yeah. Donald Trump has cut these now, but they were implicated in trying to destroy your political party, the AfD, and your leaders. Is Germany a democracy? I know you didn't win. Merz is still chancellor.
The answer is quite easy. Look, the formal frame is democratic. We have a constitution and so on. This is all democratic, but the real life isn't democratic anymore. Today, we have 170 home searchings across the whole country by ordinary people just because they committed hate speech in internet, you know. And this is just one example of many. We have journalists like David Wendels, who is the chief editor of Deutschland Courier. He got 7 months just because he was publishing a joke, a collage with the former interior minister holding piece of paper in her hand saying, "I hate free speech." And for this, he got 7 months. Well, this is the kind of democracy we have.
Because without free speech, there can be no democracy. If you look your name up on Wikipedia, which is another USAID cutout, you'll see that you were taking money and there were phone calls of $20,000. What exactly was these dirty tricks against you that it seems didn't stop you from becoming a member of the European Parliament last year?
Well, it didn't stop me because our party is so strong in Germany, but this campaign, it was the Voice of Europe campaign, manipulated heavily the whole election to the European Parliament. And my colleague from Netherlands, for example, who was also target of this campaign, he didn't made it into the European Parliament because his party was not so strong. And they lost also some 2 or 3% due to this campaign. And he didn't enter the European Parliament. And other European parties were also damaged. They get less percent as they had. And so this was a massive, massive manipulation of the election to the European Parliament with a campaign which was quite clearly created by the secret services, probably of the United States. American journalist Michael Schellenberger, he warned already before, you know, he said there will be a campaign financed by the NATO circles against all those politicians who are against the war in the Ukraine. And it come exactly this way.
Yeah, he worked with Matt Taibbi, who's a friend of this show. Of course, I'm speaking to you from the Middle East, and usually your party is known for, if you read Wikipedia or whatever, as being racist, anti-Islam, all the rest of it. I've noticed that Tino Chirupala, you're one of the co-leaders, has recently said maybe Germany shouldn't be sending weapons for the genocide in Gaza. Is that a growing understanding of this NATO nation policy of arming Israel? Is not a good, it's no good comes out of supporting genocide.
No. The position of the AfD is quite clear. And I said it already at the beginning here. We are here for the German people. And we don't want wars anywhere in the world. And we are not going to involve in those wars. This conflict in Gaza and also now the attacks on Iran, you know, there are in no advantage for German people. We will just suffer for it. We will get higher prices on oil and we will get another mass migration. Just imagine that Iran has a population of over 90 million people. This is more than Germany has. If just 10% of them will decide, oh, we are going to move somewhere westwards, we will have just another massive migrant crisis in Germany.
Yeah, no sign of that. I think Iran saying that they've won this war. But isn't that the irony? The AfD benefits from the refugee crisis caused by all these NATO wars from Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, Lebanon. It benefits because people in Germany resent more and more refugees coming from the wars, and then they vote AfD.
I don't see any irony in this. We are the only party which is for German people. You know, all the others are supporting this massive migration to the country.
And, well, the Sarawagon Connect party takes a similar view.
Yes, Sarawagon. Yeah, that's true.
So, what dirty tricks do they have left against the AfD as it charts its course to power and your sister parties in other Western European countries? Do you think that just because Donald Trump has been elected and destroyed USAID, the CIA elements in Western, do you think you're safe, or should we expect even more crazy stories saying all sorts of things about parties like yours?
I would say it saved our lives for the moment.
I mean, you're a confirmed right-wing, the BFV, right, says that the whole AfD is some sort of terror organization, even though polls show it's the most popular party in Germany.
Yeah, but you know, I wouldn't like to talk even about those topics because this is so wired. You know, you have fully democratic party, which has members from former liberals and conservatives inside. And it's labeled as extremist. This is possible only in a system when you have a total control over the secret service, which is producing those materials, and you have a big control over the mass media, who are spreading those lies. And, you know, Donald Trump experienced something similar in the U.S. We have it really in a massive, massive way in Germany. And this has to be stopped. And he did the very right step, forbidding U.S. aid, stopping all the money which come from the U.S. through the U.S. aid. Now it's up to us also to uncover the OCCRP network, because this is the evil. The media are the evil, the mainstream media, spreading all those lies absolutely uncritically. You know, they're doing no research on it. They are no questioning anything, just spreading it, repeating it. And this is the biggest problem.
But for the moment, the AFD, even though it came second, has no way of stopping these secret services, some people who may work for the CIA who don't support Trump, perhaps British secret services, other elements to try and destroy the AFD ahead of the next elections that the AFD will face.
You are right. As long as we are in the opposition, we have no possibility to change this. Therefore, it was really crucial that Donald Trump did it from outside. This is a massive impact. And the second thing is we are winning. We are winning. We gained more and more people in every election. We have the next elections. We are, as I said, we have been the strongest party in the polls, and we will be stronger even at the next election. Because if you are looking on what Friedrich Merz is doing, you know, he's disappointing heavily all his voters. He did a campaign with AFD program. He promised conservative politics, and he won with promises really based on AFD program. We were the second strongest party. So it shows, what does it show? The huge majority of the Germans, they do wish conservative politics. They want what the AFD is proposing. And part of them voted for Merz because he proposed this. And he immediately after elections, he switched just by 180 degrees. And he did the coalition with the socialists, you know. So he's doing the opposite. The people are massively disappointed, and they will run in huge numbers to us, to the AfD.
So-called socialists. Petr Bistrov, thank you.
Thank you very much for your work, and have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by the UK-US-EU armed genocide in Gaza. We'll be back on Monday with former senior Pentagon official Dennis Fritz. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, head to our channel, Going Underground TV on rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.